GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. So the draw for round two of the qualifiers happened this morning, and the fixtures and date and times and throw-ins and all that business have been confirmed. So 23rd and 24th of June are the 2 days. Mostly on the Saturday, we will have Waterford and Monaghan in Fraher Field in Dungarvan at 2. Tipperary Mayo at Semple Stadium will be 5 o'clock. That will be live on Sky Sports as well. There will be Carlo Tyrone at Netwatch Cullen Park at 5. Sligo take on Armagh in Markovitch Park at 6. Then we have Longford against Kildare at Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. That's at 7. Also at 7, Leitrim against Louth in Carrick and Shannon. Cavan and Down TBC was the latest I had. And then on the Sunday, it's Offaly against Clare in Tullamore. 1:30 there. Offaly obviously coming through against Antrim at the weekend. We have Billy Joe Padden on the line to look back at some of the action. And Mayo obviously on the Saturday beat Limerick 5-19 to 3-7. Billy Joe, I know you were at that game. And then yesterday you trucked up to watch Donegal against Down. Donegal putting 222 on Down despite having 14 men for, well, most of that game, from Neil McGee sending off on 12, 13 minutes. I know from briefly speaking to you yesterday, you were really impressed with Donegal to the extent that they've probably jumped up quite a few rungs on your All-Ireland contenders ladder.
I think so. I'll qualify that by saying I hadn't seen them earlier in the championship. And you always have to look at the opposition. And unfortunately for Down, they just weren't at it at any stage. But you can't but not be impressed with the way that Donegal went about things. There was tremendous variations in their play. They were really physical. They defended well, as well as they need to be. I know there'll be bigger tests in the summer. Mm. But the big thing for me was that there didn't seem that there was this over-reliance on Michael Murphy and Paddy McBrearty, as there has been in the last couple of seasons in terms of them getting scores. And I'd say that's the thing that they've consciously tried to work on, because there was many opportunities where you felt that maybe even Paddy McBrearty or Michael Murphy might have had a shot, but they offloaded it really quickly to a teammate in a better position, and it led to a couple of really fluent attacking moves, not just, you know, counter-attacks, but also some long kick passes being played in there. And even sometimes what impressed me really well was when the ball went into the corner at times, they moved it out of there really quickly, and that created scoring opportunities. Whereas some teams, you see the ball go into the corner and then it's just slowly recycled back to the 45 and worked across. So they've obviously been working on their attack and movements.
Yeah, well, I think they've averaged close to 21 points from play across these three Ulster Championship games. So for those of us who haven't seen them across a full 70 minutes, just in terms of how they're distributing their numbers, like, we kind of know what they were doing under McGuinness and Gallagher, and it was definitely tilted towards let's get men behind the ball. How are numbers distributed around the field currently?
Well, they're playing, you know, with a fairly orthodox half back line, and that they notionally line up as a half back line. And their two midfielders, and Hugh McFadden and Liam McLoon, were very defensive. Well, they had the license to go forward, but you're talking about two times a half, maybe. I know Liam McLoon got forward for a goal. Hugh McFadden, the second half, won a great ball on the edge of the square, and they're definitely taking it on turns. There's no situation there where they're going to be overly stretched in that area. But I think the thing that's probably different from maybe Donegal in the past, and that they were aggressive from the start and willing to press high up the field. And all that really meant was on the Down kickout, the Donegal half-back line, instead of being camped across their own 45, they were in the middle of the field pushing forward, you know, really trying to squeeze Down into their own half. And it worked really well, because Mark Reid in the Down goal was under tremendous pressure. And then Down just didn't have the physicality to live with McFadden and McLoon and even Michael Murphy when he was out there. So that's the way they kind of squeezed it. Obviously, you know, when you look at the Donegal half-back line, you're going to have Ryan McHugh is going to counterattack. Paul Brennan to counterattack. He got 2 points from play.
Yeah.
Caelan Ward got forward, got a point as well. And then Owen Vaughan Gallagher, who's lined a corner back, well, he actually did a man-marking job on Conor McGinn, you know, kind of Down's playmaker. And he's very dangerous on the counterattack as well, because he's got great pace. So they really had two defenders back in the full back line at all time, and kind of squeezed everywhere else as much as they could.
I mean, really, there's lots of interesting aspects to the game. The statistics around Down's kickouts are fairly galling from their point of view. So their first 10 kickouts in that first 25 minutes, they had this in the Sunday game last night, Down lose 9 of those 10 kickouts. They go long in the first 25 minutes and they're down by 1-8 to no score at that stage. So the game effectively is over. And then for the next 10 minutes, 25 minutes to half time, they go short 7 times. They win 7 of those short kickouts and they outscore Donegal. So it seems like they took about, I would say, 22 minutes too long to figure out what was going on here.
Yeah, I think the sending off had an impact on that breakdown in the figures there on that, because while Donegal, you know, for those 13 minutes they had 15 men on the field, they really pressed high up the field. And for a couple of minutes, even when McGee was sent off, they still did that. Now, as they got more comfortable, they dropped back and allowed down more opportunities to get those short kickouts out. They weren't pressurizing as high with the 14 men. But also, what was happening on the down kickout was, even in those early stages, Mark Reid was looking for the short kickout all the way through. And what was happening is that Donegal had all these lanes closed off, and then he'd no option. Out of desperation, he was going long. And a couple of times, he just literally kicked it long to where there might have been 3 Donegal men standing around and wouldn't have been a down man anywhere near him. So it was really as much of as Donegal's tactics getting in the heads of the down midfielders and goalkeeper.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk All-Ireland power rankings and the general lay of the land, we have to bring in Mayo, and you were there for their 5-19 to 3-7 win over Limerick. Obviously, it's not much of a contest, 5-19 to 3-7. We made the point yesterday, and it's probably emphasised somewhat with Tipperary at Semple Stadium now on the horizon, but Mayo, if they're going to complete this odyssey akin to last year, but even more demanding given the Super 8s, they need a few easy games along the road here. They can't do what they had to do against Cork and against Derry and have all these epics week after week after week. They need a few games where they blow a team out of the water, and they did that to Limerick fairly comprehensively, it seems.
Oh yeah, it was a pretty good performance. The first 20 minutes they were sluggish enough, but that's kind of understandable when you're coming off a losing effort in the championship. It nearly happens all teams in their first game in the qualifiers. And Limerick scored first through the penalty, but like the game was never in doubt. Mayo were in complete control, and all right, they were a bit maybe methodical in their approach in those first 20 minutes, but Killian O'Connor really stood up and kicked 3 points from play to cancel out the Limerick goal, and then that gave lots of confidence to many of the other players there, particularly in the forward line. And they were a bit slower to get moving. Evan Regan hasn't played a lot of football. He was sluggish enough the first 20 minutes. You know, Keane Hanley first start, James Durkin first start. So Killian's role there in terms of his leadership and the way he was playing really brought those fellas into the game, and they were much better in the final 40 minutes of the game than they were maybe in the first 20. And then you have the luxury of being able to bring Andy Moran on and really just give him a rest is all. Yeah. He was perfectly fine, and he came in then and added that zip that he always does. But it is notable, and I know we mentioned this yesterday, it is notable that it's Killian, it was Aidan O'Shea, it was, you know, Cullen Boyle, Chris Barrett, players like that that Mayo have relied on so often were still to the fore in those early stages when the game needed to be won, or when the tone needed to be set.
We had Tom Parsons on the show in the last week or two. The interview got a huge reaction. He's an incredibly popular, well-liked GA player, neutrals and Mayo fans alike, and he got a great reception when he turned up in Limerick. It looked like Mayo fans outnumbered Limerick fans at least 4-5 to 1. The support that Mayo, that this team in particular, this particular Mayo team, but all Mayo teams get, is really quite extraordinary. But all that notwithstanding, someone has to replace Tom Parsons because he was doing a hell of a job for them in midfield. You were saying Stephen Cohn did yesterday. How did he get on, and who's going to be the likely Mayo midfield going forward?
Stephen Cohn did fine. He put himself about. He's always very disciplined in terms of his defensive duties, and he did that to good effect again. He's not as comfortable driving forward as some of the other Mayo midfielders or people in the half back line even. And he got forward and missed a couple of shots early on. Now he did get a score in the second half, but I think that maybe the ultimate solution will be that if they can run with Stephen Cohn dropping back into the half back line, and then maybe Lee Keegan that bit further up the field to give him the license to attack, because he can be devastating on those off-the-shoulder runs, and he has the ability to score goals and score points. And it really is a consideration for an opposing team to how do you stop Lee Keegan when he's going at you at a full head of steam. And I think if Mayo are able to utilise that, it will benefit many of the forwards, because it'll give them space, and they'll know that if you win a ball out in front and Lee Keegan's coming from a midfield area, he'll be coming directly at you, and you're just flicking the ball to him going flying by you, and that's something that would be very useful to Mayo, particularly when you mention that Tom Harrison's is gone, because one thing that Tom is a very good all-rounder, and he was very good defensively, but he's such a good engine that very often he could get forward and be a link man in attack as well, and very often chipped in with a point or two, even though he mightn't have had been the greatest long-range kicker, you know, on the field.
Yeah, as he did against Galway just before his injury, actually, which is the telling thing.
Exactly.
You mentioned Killian O'Connor. So he scored 3-9 and in doing so became Mayo's all-time leading scorer. And then the really amazing statistic about O'Connor, he sort of crept up these charts here. People may not fully realise it. Killian O'Connor is still only 26 years old. And yet he is, I make it, 24 points off being the all-time leading championship scorer in history ever. That's currently held by Colm Cooper. Then we have Killian O'Connor second. He's overtaken Mikey Sheehy. John Doyle is in fourth. Killian O'Connor is only 26. On the assumption, the way he looks after himself, that he plays for the guts of another 8, 9, 10 years, he's going to set a serious target for whoever comes after him. I mean, we're going to have to start calling him a marquee forward soon. He's a very interesting player. Like, 23 goals, 261 points. He's going to be the all-time championship scorer when he retires, and people still aren't sure about him in some respects.
I know, it's kind of crazy. I think that people maybe... You know, I think people's visions of him are clouded by the fact that maybe he's Mayo's marquee forward, and there's no doubt, you know, this Mayo team wouldn't be what it is without Killian O'Connor and wouldn't have developed the way it has over the last 6 or 7 years. And let's put it this way, Mayo haven't won the big prize. You know, Killian O'Connor has played well in a lot of those big games. Mm. Other games he hasn't played so well. He's missed big frees in those games. He's has got big scores in those games. Like he leveled one up from play in a Dublin to force an All-Ireland final to replay. That's a big, big score. You know, he's had success and failures at those levels. But the one thing you can't take away from him is that he's been, you know, his level has been consistently high all through those, you know, six or seven years he's been playing inter-county football. And he really is an exceptional talent. And I think the one good thing for Mayo is that he has struggled with injuries over the years, and that has affected him. He's always played through that pain barrier, but he looked so sharp. His movement in terms of just getting across the field the last day looked much better than it has maybe in 2 or 3 years. He looks physically in really good condition, and that's a really good sign for Mayo for the rest of this year. But it's also a good sign for him for the rest of his career, because the big worry in Mayo with him was that he'd suffered so many injuries, that he was playing with injuries so often that you're wondering, even though he's only 26, you know, would he have a long career? But hopefully that will be the case, and he'll go on to put a good gap between him and whoever is in second place when he finishes his career.
So to round off this chat then, Dublin did what Dublin do yesterday, and let's operate on the basis that Stephen Cluxton is going to be fine, and that remains to be seen. But let's assume it's Dublin as we know them. We're saying Donegal have kind of inserted themselves into the conversation now. We've seen a young Kerry team hit 32 points early on in the championship, and we don't know what their ceiling is yet because they're such a young team. And now you've had a first look at Mayo starting up on this whole odyssey again, 2018 version. It still looks to me like Dublin could potentially win their easiest All-Ireland yet.
I think that's right. And I know that I didn't mention Galway yesterday. I think you have to put Galway into that category, and we'll see where they are in after next weekend. And I think you're right. There's growth there still for Donegal with all these young players. Same for Galway, same for Kerry. And it'll just depend on how they develop and how quickly they can develop. As it stands, I think that Dublin are probably 8 or 9 point better team than any of those other pretenders at the minute. Mm. And they will be able to raise their game whenever it's needed when they come up against either of those teams. Galway have to be able to show that they can get the scores when it's required in Croke Park, and they weren't able to do that in the league final. Donegal, I don't have that worry. I just feel that they'll be able to get the scores. They just, you know, really... Jamie Brennan has added some pace in that forward line and has given some of the other players so much freedom. The worry for Donegal will be is how will they cope in their full back line. They were a bit shaky yesterday at times. They're obviously changing their tact a bit, and they're leaving a bit more space back there than they would have under Gallagher or Jim McGuinness. So they're the question marks that are still there. And then in Kerry, you just wonder, do they have that athleticism in their half back line that all the other teams are that you need just to even to live with Dublin? So there's still huge question marks over the others, whereas Dublin are the finished article, and we know that.
Yeah, we sure do. Billy Joe, pleasure. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks, Joe.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.